This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Ropes 315. Jeff Hawkins here with Chris Novembrino. Tonight we're going to do NXT TakeOver Phoenix preview and take a look at some other things that happened around the Federation and some of the smaller shows, some of the network shows. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. Are you going to TakeOver Phoenix?
I am.
Ooh, okay. Like, I know we're going to do the preview and everything, but just real quickly, top line, what match are you the most excited to see?
Out of all of them, I am the one I'm most nervous about, which makes me more excited, is I really want to see this Shayna Bianca Belair match. I really want a breakout from a self from a PC person who has upside. It's been 2 years. I want to see a coming out party for her.
Yeah, I'm very, very hopeful about that. So I'm excited to talk about that. I watch NXT UK as well too. So if you want to get into that, we can get into that.
A little bit. I watched it. It was kind of on in the background as I watched. Next week's show is going to be great, but we're going to bring up a point about NXT UK, at least next week's show.
Okay.
I'm also, when we do the preview, I'm going to go over the two matches that are going to be taped for TV, both of which I think are going to be pretty good as well. But I'm going to start with the main roster doing a little bit of cleanup. This was not something on either show, but it was reported by Dave Meltzer that apparently Ronda Rousey is at least pondering making this just a one-year deal so that she can go and raise a family with her husband, Travis Brown. My official response to this and my official take on this is she can go and do what she wants. We have a strong women's division. There are other women that need pushing. She's done a lot for this. The WrestleMania match was great. If she's going to be a part-timer, let her be a part-timer. But don't kind of, how should I put this? Toe the line between full-time and part-time. This is fun, and I only kind of want to do this for a little while thing.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. The one thing I would like to see her do, if she is indeed thinking about wrapping up, is give Becky the rub, because I think that Becky getting a big win over Ronda Rousey would do a lot for Becky to be the man around the division. And then, to your point, Jeff, Ronda really would have done a lot and left her mark on this division, because Becky would still be around. And Becky would be carrying that signature win, built on Ronda's real in-ring accomplishments here. She did a really good job during this run.
If it's true, it's a shame that they could not get around to building up this Horsewomen versus Horsewomen program strong enough, because I think that would have been really hot fire. And there's not time to do it now if she's leaving in April, because you're going to have the road to WrestleMania going down there. I thought that would have been a nice little, you know, even maybe a first women's War Games type of thing, which would have been kind of cool. But
maybe they can talk her into staying through SummerSlam, because I think that would be enough time to
well,
get
the story
told. Well,
here's the other thing that's interesting to me, is they kind of built the Fox sale on
Ronda Rousey.
Star
that's
power
right.
Like Ronda
yeah.
Rousey.
If she leaves, Fox really got sold, not an entire bill of goods, but not everything that was advertised.
They got sold a car with people who knew that there was maybe a little bit of engine trouble in there. I agree. I think I won't call it a total bait and switch, because really,
no,
what
but
they
like
were
Brock Lesnar could wrap up and Ronda Rousey could wrap up, and if you're the Fox executives and you don't really follow professional wrestling that closely, or how WWE makes their sauce very closely, you might go, well, they got Ronda and Brock on the roster. Those people were locked in for fairly long term deals without necessarily knowing that that's not necessarily so.
Oh, Chris, but they were buying the WWE experience.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to tell you something. In going with your watching NXT UK this week, I am on board with next week's show, something fierce, because Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner are going to take on Mustache Mountain. And after this NXT go-home show...
More, please.
Please.
They're like my new favorite tag team. I love that NXT match this week. I love these guys. These guys keep having great matches. Yes, more. Absolutely.
I want nothing but a division of grizzled veteran tag teams that just want to beat the crap out of each other. Because I loved this Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch match versus them. Absolutely adored it. And you could tell Nigel was just having a blast because he marked out at one point just laughing at a hard hit. And I loved everything about this. Give me my grizzled veteran tag league with the Revival in this and I would be happy.
Yeah, you know what I loved about that match? This is going to sound weird, is that it was really, really well worked, and it had just that right amount of slop that made it feel real. Like, it was every so often just a little bit sloppy, but not like in a bad way, in a way that made it feel real. Like, these guys were really going at it. Oh, man, I loved this match.
Completely on board. It was a little smooth, I mean, a little too choreographed in some of the double team spots, but overall... the hard hitting kind of made up for it. I am more than excited to watch that Mustache Mountain match as well.
Yep.
I like that they're kind of building them by losing to really good teams, but you know that there's going to be that one match where they finally put it all together.
It's establishing credibility for them,
yeah.
which is really interesting. It's a really interesting way to establish a heel team, and it's working where they're coming out. They are actually getting some wins. Like, they had the big win over the enhancement talent the last week. Not a big win, but, like, that was a good match, and that established credibility for the team. And then here they lost narrowly, but if you kind of forgot the early part of the match, like that first couple of minutes between Oney Lorcan and Marcel Bartel, the tail end of the match... it actually kind of read as though Bartel and Eichner were faces. Not that, like, Burch and Lorcan in any way, shape, or form were working as heels. It's just that they had the hope spot there at the tail end. Eichner was knocking himself out, and then they made a mistake and got rolled up for a pin. It's a babyface-style loss.
Yeah, Eichner's no longer going to be working with Evolve now that he's on NXT TV, and it looks like whatever he's been doing in between, you know, the last... kind of mini run he had on NXT and then the Evolve mini run as champion, and now he was fantastic in the Cruiserweight Classic, and he's really, really improved since then. I really like what he was doing here, and I like kind of the dichotomy of they're actually two different guys who have two different styles that then eventually mesh. It's like,
right,
you know, power and technique, and I really, you know, that's always an awesome thing for a team for me.
Yeah, Eichner has the flash. He's got the flashy power, and he's got the flashy high-flying moves, and Marcel Bartel can be the guy who comes in and works the arms, works the legs, grinds them down. I'm always a big fan of, this is such a simple spot, but when the heels get the guy at the quarter and quickly tag in and out and do the stomping. I'm so about that spot.
Yeah. And I liked that he tried to dive in to make the save and he was holding the leg.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
I thought that was a nice little touch.
That shows how close it was.
Yeah, and it's also realistic a little bit. I mean, he wasn't like scrambling for all three counts of the thing, you know, to try and get there and make that. It was like on the two, grab the leg, and so he's struggling and he just missed being able to get there. I really, that match was great. I liked this go-home show for NXT overall. I thought a lot of it was really, really good. Io Shirai and Kairi Sane had a nice tag team squash against... I like Amber Nova a lot. I do. She's been out. She's now been like the...
Amber Nova's the slighter of the two, yes?
Yeah, she's the one who's very, very fit. And she's now been kind of the designated victim in both her matches on NXT. I think she's at least interesting with the whole auto mechanic thing. She actually, like, builds cars and things in her spare time.
Oh, that's cool.
I think she's an interesting person to watch if they decide not to sign her and she's out there, because she still works indies and things of that nature. And Tania Brooks, I thought, did very well too. I found the Io Shirai Kairi Sane thing a little clunky for some reason. I thought there was
just a talent gulf a little bit between the enhancement talent and Io Shirai. And it was too much for Shirai and Kairi to kind of like guide the enhancement talent through. So there were just parts where they were going for bumps and stuff, and like they didn't know which direction to bump in and that sort of thing. And that just comes with experience. So, it's tough to find good enhancement talents that can work with Sane and Shirai just because they do kind of work a different style. And a lot of the enhancement talent maybe don't have any frame of reference for the style that Sane and Shirai work or haven't worked that type of match before.
Now, that said, I liked the match better than I liked the post-match. I don't like the way they're being presented. You know, like almost teenagers who just hug each other. We're best friends! It's such a bad stereotype
kawaii,
to me.
Right? Is that the right term? Like, cute? Kawaii? Like, that's the kind of, yeah, there's a little juvenile thing going on there. And
it's almost
weird.
Like they think they're living anime characters.
Yes, right.
Yeah. That part just kind of, it annoys me a bit. I mean, look, the first time she comes and makes the save, you hug her. You can stop hugging now, guys. It's a bit much.
I mean, maybe they're just really trying to telegraph the eventual betrayal here. And that's why they feel like we won't be able to have a lot of promos with Kairi Sane and Io Shirai, and therefore we need to really get over that they're friends through hugs.
I also enjoyed the Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler hype video. I like that she's just kind of chewing her gum, staring around while they're playing these clips of Shayna. It's a nice little dichotomy. I'm super stoked for the match. And I think she came off really well in the video once she got to talk a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. No, I tend to think that all of these NXT build videos are very good, and they're nice little recaps of the matches. They get you ready. You want to see the match. You want to see the payoff, and they give you a little bit extra, like that train side of things, the training.
Other matches. Velveteen Dream defeated Bobby, or no, yeah, he defeated Bobby Fish. I think this is the correct build for this kind of thing. It's like a late 80s. Oh, who's the level of Velveteen Dream and Crockett that I would be thinking of? I don't want to say like Sam Houston.
Is he like Magnum TA at this point?
A little Magnum TA beating Ole Anderson type
of
thing.
Yeah, right. And we're now starting to kind of on commentary hit that note of there's some members of the Undisputed Era who have belts and some who don't. I don't think we're doing anything anytime soon, but we're at least kind of planting that seed on commentary.
And I really liked the four-way build of the both the North American and World title in the same program. I think the two matches are going to coincide with each other in a way.
Oh, almost certainly. I think the dead giveaway on that was Johnny's opening line in that promo, that if this was the 2018 Johnny, you would be getting in my head and you'd be able to manipulate me, and you think you're going to manipulate me. And then Tommaso Ciampa manipulates him. I enjoy the storytelling on this. I know, again, your mileage may vary with the Gargano Ciampa stuff, but I think that they found
ways. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I'm not saying you. I'm saying there are varying reactions, and this feud has crossed a line or crossed the line twice or thrice at this point for various people from what I've seen. I'm just saying for me, I love all of the mind game stuff.
So before we get to the preview, let's just go through 205 Live real quick, what you liked, what you didn't like. I will start. I really like the vignettes with Brian Kendrick and Akira Tozawa. I liked especially the one from last week where he goes, I'm teaching him every trick in the book to do this. And just Akira Tozawa with the big grin. I absolutely love that. I love how they built kind of this four-way with the exception of the match. I did not like the three-way.
I thought it was completely gratuitous. Like, why do I want to see these guys in a few days when you just gave me most of the match on substance today with a clear winner, no less?
And then you have Buddy Murphy interfering in it, which is, again, one of my pet peeves. Oh, it's no DQ. He can just go in there and do anything he wants. He could bring a gun and an army in there and just take out everybody. It's like, ah, oh, jeez, why? And then we kind of had the continuation of the growth of one Humberto Carrillo as he beat Grand Metalik.
Really good enhancement match for Humberto Carrillo. A big win style of enhancement match to kind of build him up further. I like the tail end of this when he picks up Grand Metalik, and Metalik is impressed with what Carrillo has shown. And I love Drew Gulak backstage. So angry that he can't even words right. That there's just no words for the high flying and the flashy finish that Carrillo did. He could have just pinned him, Jeff. Metalik was on the ground, and that stupid Carrillo had to go into a handstand and a moonsault. Who does he think he is?
And plus, they didn't sign his boy Wheeler Yuta, which was one of my favorite name drops from the binders. But when Gulak leaves,
but
just
that's another important
look.
Through line. We're joking, but that's also true that like Drew Gulak was trying to emotionally invest himself in building a better 205 Live by suggesting all of these no flyers, and instead we get this flashy, tall, handsome, charismatic, high flying guy.
I did like Gallagher's just look at Drake, where he's just like
disgusted.
Nope. yeah, and I'll tell you what, Aiden English wasn't too bad on commentary.
No, I think he's totally fine, and give him a few weeks, and I think he'll actually mesh in pretty well.
Right. Yeah, it was just a little bit of picking his spots, and you know, knowing how heel he needs to go here. But yeah, a couple weeks, I think he'll be fine.
Nigel, I think, will find a really nice synergy, and it will allow Nigel to not do the thing that you and I have found kind of grating at various points, where Nigel is too heavy on the heel.
Like,
He and English can now trade off a little bit on who's being heel and make it actually feel a little bit more 50-50, honestly. Like, a little bit more like a sporting experience, where there are different viewpoints, but who's the good guy and the bad guy can kind of change from match to match a little bit. They can just have their own partisan favorites, as it were.
Oh, I expect both to be a little bit heelish, and then for Vic to be the one to have to
check
react,
them both.
But I do like this over Percy Watson.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Percy's probably a very nice fellow, but on commentary, he's gotten better on NXT.
You know what? He's fine on NXT.
Yeah, he's gotten better on NXT.
He's perfectly fine on NXT.
I was giving him a compliment a couple of weeks ago. I think he can be very good, but on 205 Live, I felt like he's added nothing, especially with the way he's interacted with the Nigel character that we get on 205 Live.
Yeah, I just don't think he has the knowledge of kind of the style to really put it over as a color commentator. He has character down. He can go, oh man, this guy that, you know, that kind of thing. But in terms of, you know, describing moves and flow, I think that's a bit of a weak spot for him.
Yeah, absolutely. What else happens on this? Tony Nese gets mad and wants a match with Noam Dar, and instead we're made to wait a week for it because this is the build you and I have both been waiting for.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. No, it definitely is.
So, NXT TakeOver Phoenix happening Saturday night at the Talking Stick Arena in One Phoenix, Arizona. I will be there live. I am very excited. I'm going to start with two matches that are going to be taped for next week's NXT television, starting with the Street Profits taking on the Forgotten Sons. It's going to be a big crowd. Going to be a hot crowd, and I like that the Street Profits have worked a couple weeks in Evolve to get ready for kind of this big match feel versus the confines of Full Sail. I'm hoping that Montez Ford does something to blow me away here, but I fully expect that the Street Profits will be going over rather strong here.
Yeah, I think they're going over rather strong. I almost think the more interesting discussion is this a by-the-numbers match that kind of wraps up relatively quickly and sort of relatively predictably, or do we get a little flash and a little bit of spice and a little bit of NXT TakeOver magic in this match?
Yeah, I agree. I really want to see something from the Street Profits in their first, quote-unquote, big, huge, like this atmosphere. that because they haven't been on a takeover yet as much as, you know, they've been around forever, but they haven't been on a takeover yet. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think, you know, I think the Forgotten Sons kind of get, you know, forgotten, for lack of a better term, in that they are solid. They are solid hands here, and, you know, they'll be able to take and catch them. So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with a nice little, you know, get the heat segment mid-card tag team type match here.
Yeah, I think it has the ability to be a very good match if that's what the agents want it to be. And if they want it to be, you know, essentially it's a match for television next week, it can be that too. And we'll just see what happens.
Also, being taped for television next week, a rematch. Kairi Sane and Io Shirai taking on Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir. Everything about it says that Io and Kairi get the win again, but this is 50-50.
That's funny.
Land.
I was actually thinking it goes the other way, that they want to give Duke and Shafir a signature win on a takeover and have some sort of all of the four horsewomen won on takeover that night sort of story.
Okay. I could see that too. I am going to say that they somehow find a way to cheat to win.
Yeah.
And they get the pin.
Yeah, I don't think it's clean, but I think that they find a way to win.
I'll be interested to see if they somehow shoehorn Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream on here. I'm not sure they're going to. They're running that in Riverside, California tomorrow night. But I don't think it's going to officially be on this TV taping, so we will not discuss it. We'll start with the main card now, starting with Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno. I have seen Matt Riddle versus Chris Hero on the indies. It was a fantastic match. If it is three-fourths as good, this could potentially steal the show.
Did they wrestle in Dallas at WrestleMania that weekend?
I believe they did.
Oh, okay, then I've seen them wrestle too. I think we both saw that exact same show. And yeah. It can be really good. This is another one that it will be as good as the agents let it be if they want to have. And actually, if it's the opening match, I bet you that this picks up at a certain point and kind of gets pretty hard-hitting for a few minutes.
Let me look this up real quick. I can't remember which Evolve show it was.
So what I'm going to do while you're looking it up, I've been working on my vamps here, Hawkins. And so what I'm going to do in order to vamp right now is I'm going to mention that we have a Patreon, and you can go to patreon.com/shakethemropes. And what we're going to be doing for our Patreon episode this month is we talked about doing favorite albums. We're probably going to do that at some point. But after the show, I was talking to Hawkins. I've been going on this big old marathon of watching Andy Kaufman stuff. And I was thinking it would be really fun to take a look back at a retrospective of Andy Kaufman working as a professional wrestling heel. So if you sign up on patreon.com/shakethemropes, the next premium episode is going to be a retrospective on Andy Kaufman. Hawkins, how'd I do? Are you ready?
I'm more or less ready. I'm getting results from a show in 2016 in October, and that couldn't have been it. So
nope.
I couldn't find it necessarily there, but I know
it's
I've
a memory
seen the match
that I wish I had with you. You know what I mean? Like we're such good friends that sometimes there are certain memories I wish we had together.
Let's put it this way: I either saw it in Dallas or Orlando. I know I've seen this match. But I am looking very, very forward to it. I think Matt Riddle wins strong, but I think both guys beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, right. No, I this could be short, but very brutal and therefore delicious.
Going to the beginning of our title matches for the NXT North American Championship, Ricochet takes on Johnny Gargano. How do you see this one shaping up?
I have been going back and forth on this ever since I watched NXT earlier today. I am not sure, so I'm going to make the case both ways. Johnny doesn't win, and therefore it allows Tommaso Ciampa to keep Johnny as his Renfield to Tommaso Ciampa's Dracula. Or Johnny does win, and DIY is reunited, but as evil DIY. And Johnny still has the lesser to Tommaso's greater. And when I state those both out loud now, I think we're sticking with the Renfield-Dracula dynamic. I think that Johnny is going to succumb back to Tommaso Ciampa's will, in no small part because of the tail end with Candice. Candice LeRae pushing him back. Like, there's a thrall there. He can't break himself from it.
Yeah, I'm a little frustrated because I can't figure out a way to get to the Gargano redemption story without Ciampa and Gargano coming together at least once as DIY.
Right.
And Ciampa
right.
turning on him again. Which I think would be the end game anyways, would be Ciampa then beats
he ends
the crap
in a betrayal again. Right. No, I
yeah.
agree. I agree. Eventually, because Tommaso's not emotionally invested in this. This is ultimately, it's Johnny's good nature being twisted into doing bad things. Like, he loves his friend and wants his friend back, but the whole point is that Tommaso's heart truly is black. He's the black heart.
Yeah, but I think Gargano hasn't hit rock bottom yet, so
right.
here's what I'm thinking happens. I think there's a quid pro quo that happens. I think Ciampa helps Gargano win the title here, and I think Gargano eventually helps Ciampa retain his. So I'm going to go with Gargano beating Ricochet here.
Yeah, I can believe that one, too. That's why I said I was right on the fence. I'm sticking with the Renfield one. I'm going with the Renfield narrative, but yours is equally as plausible to me.
Undisputed Era taking of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong versus the War Raiders, Hanson and Rowe, for the Tag Team Championships. I don't know. This is one that I just cannot... Can I get my head around which way they want to go in a direction? Because I think the Undisputed Era are fine retaining the titles here. I don't think there's another story to tell unless they start doing, you know, horsemen rules where any two of the horsemen can defend the titles against anybody. I don't think the War Raiders need the NXT Tag Team Championships.
I don't think so either. Yeah,
I think they're big guys, and I think they're probably going to get brought up sooner than later.
I almost think the more interesting story is four guys fighting over two belts constantly.
Yes, that's me too. And especially with the dynamic of Kyle O'Reilly having now tagged with Strong and Fish as title holders. I think that's a much more interesting story. So I'm going with the Undisputed Era retaining their titles.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them to retain as well. And maybe even a thing that necessitates a substitution of who the Undisputed is represented by.
That could be as well. Be interesting. We'll see. For the NXT Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler, the champion, taking on Bianca Belair. I will let you start.
I think that Bianca Belair comes up short here, but in a very inspired way that really gets the crowd behind her. I don't think she needs to climb the top of the mountain here to be a champion. I think she can have the Rocky story.
I think that's the safe way. I think that's the safe bet, is that she is the undefeated person who finally meets her match. She gets a little humbled, but she's been baby-faced by the crowd.
Let me curveball you then. Non-finish. It's to a draw that, like, neither of them can complete the match. It's not necessarily interference, but basically neither of them can answer a 10 count or something like that.
But here's the other thing I was thinking about. This is kind of a position that the NWA was in around 87, where you had Lex Luger and you had Sting and you had these other young guys and you had Flair as the champ. And even older than that, even like Nikita and Magnum TA, you had all these guys on the top of the card and you never pulled the trigger as champion until it was too late. That was always the story of the NWA, is they never really created that next big star on that first time. They'd have them fail and then they'd never get around to the title match until their heat was absolutely gone. In Luger's case, they turn him heel to try and get the heat back before giving him the title again. I think the brave call here is to belt Bianca Belair. I think that would be something here. I don't think they're going to do it, but man, I really wish they... I kind of wish they do. I kind of wish they would here.
Yeah, I wish they would. I just think we also still have the Duke and Shafir shoes to drop here in this match. So I think we're probably going to go chalk on this, where Bianca comes up short with the Rocky story. I think she obliterates three people. I think she looks tough and she ends this match as the people's champion. in an emotional kind of tear-soaked moment. And I think it'll be good, but I'm with you that it'll be a little by the numbers, and I think that will be the one thing that leaves me cold on the tail end of it. But I'm looking forward to the match. I think it's going to be a really good one.
And finally, the singles match for the NXT title, Tommaso Ciampa versus Aleister Black. I've kind of tipped my hand here already. I think there's going to be a lot of melodrama here, as there always is with Ciampa, because I think Gargano's coming out to help repay Ciampa for helping him win the title. I think Candice gets involved, and I think Gargano has to do something terrible to Candice in order to help Ciampa.
Yeah, I could see that, because that is, she's the one wall keeping him away at this point, which is weird and kind of inconsistent with kind of sort of crazy Candice that we were getting with Nikki Cross and everything. But it seems that we're kind of bringing her back around a little bit. So, yeah.
I don't think she goes heel. I think she stays.
I don't think she goes heel. I think she does go heel eventually, but it's not in defense of Johnny. It's because she's kind of lost her mind over the whole Johnny thing. You know what I mean? She stopped seeing things clearly. I think she could still end up being a heel, but not like in alignment with her husband at that point. And yeah, I'm with you. And now that I think a little bit harder about this, I think that maybe the next step or the next chapter of this is that Aleister Black and Ricochet, both having been screwed, align together, and then somewhere in the next TV tapings, we get a DIY reunion match against Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Well, let me put this to you then, because I might be wrong both ways on both title matches. And then I'm wrong on the tag team title match. The War Raiders win, and then you get the War Raiders versus the heel DIY.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Maybe. So that the heel DIY loses both their titles. I mean, another interesting wrinkle or another different way to go is Ciampa loses his title after helping Johnny gain his, and then we have that sort of dangling sword hanging from the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think that might be a little too bold by half. So,
well, we tried to make predictions. Yeah. We're not soothsayers. We're not fantasy booking here.
No, I'm fielding potentiality. Going. I mean, like, these are actual outcomes that could occur, right? Like one person wins a match or the other person does. And then, so what would that mean?
Who do they show in the audience?
Who do they show in the audience? I'm going to say Walter. Maybe they want to get a little more Walter on TV, just kind of set the table for this guy.
Okay, I like the Walter call. I'm going to also say I think they show Trevor Lee.
Okay, there you go, yeah. Yeah, because the new big signing and then the new UK guy, that would make some sense, sure.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Anyways, going to wrap it up there unless you have anything else.
I don't believe that I do. Was there anything you wanted to hit on NXT UK? Okay, well, yeah, because this is pretty enhancement-y matchy this week.
Look, the Devlin Travis Banks match.
Oh, you know what? I actually liked that match. I gotta tell you that they turned that back around. I will say this: I thought that the non-finish there was a very clever way of getting out of the predicament that you and I were talking about. They kind of written themselves into where someone had to lose that next upcoming match, and this was a spirited enough match inside the ring and stiff and aggressive enough and continued afterwards that it kind of got the heat back for the feud.
Okay. I liked it. What happened was I watched it right after 205 Live, and I was like, after watching kind of basically...
I watch NXT UK first now because I know that that's the one that I need to worry about, the where I might hit wrestling fatigue.
Yeah, I hit my fatigue around NXT UK this week, so I was just kind of like, eh, it's okay. I thought the Eddie Dennis squash was great. I think the buildup of Walter is still good. Gallus is just getting smacked around all over the place, which is interesting, because I don't know how you build them back up after Walter just kills them.
Maybe they could get their own t-shirt.
Anyways, you can follow me at CrapGame13. You can follow Chris at ChrisNovembrino. You can follow the show, which is basically just when the episodes go up, at Shake Them Ropes. But if you're doing that, you probably have us on your feed catcher. You may not need to, although I may need to start tweeting at Shake Them Ropes more. Damn you, Rob, for ruining the account. Anyways, Chris, go ahead and plug your other projects.
My other projects, Don't Worry About the Government, can be found at don'tworry.tv and on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Don't Worry About the Government. And my other show is the All in the Family podcast. My dad actually listened to the Sammy Davis Jr. episode and was talking to me about the car phone that we used to have in the car as a kid the other day. And you can find that at theallinthefamilypodcast.com and also on iTunes and Stitcher by searching for All in the Family podcast.
Chris Novembrino, former one percenter with the car phone. Anyways, if you guys are in Phoenix, let me know. If I can stop by, say hi, have a beer, whatever, I'll do my best. But until then, enjoy your wrestling this weekend, and I'll give you all the rundown on Tuesday.
My dad had it for work, you jerk.
No, one percenter.
Tessa, what I'm going to do, I promise I love you so much. I wrote you a little poem, Tessa, and I memorized it. Roses are red, violets are blue. Tessa, I love you. I love you, baby. Come back to me. I'm going to beat you to death next week, Bill Dundee.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.